Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
Welcome back, and it is now or never. We're running out of time. So I'm going to start covering why I believe Donald Trump is unelectable for 2024. And as a matter of fact, because nobody wants to actually start pursuing the Constitution. I mean, I want to be clear here, folks, that until we start pursuing the Constitution, we're not going to get a leg up on justice. And if you don't understand, no justice, no peace. No peace, no justice. Anyway, so what we want to do is we want to kind of cover some of the, you know, the paramount stuff that I think you need to know. Like last week, I let you know that this right now, it may not seem like the premium, you know, low prices of beef and food and so forth, but it is not going to get any better. And as a matter of fact, I don't think there is a, well, I'm not sure if you understand the agrarian cycle of the Jewish calendar, or actually this goes all the way back to Adam, where the calendar was for 6 years you would work the earth, and for the seventh year you'd rest. Well, we happen to be in the seventh year of that calendar. And so the last time that was the seventh year was 2015. And that was a blood red moon, you know, October during the harvest. And the shift over occurs at the harvest. So in other words, the rest or the work ends at the harvest time. And so at least this is how I understand it. I'm not a scholar of all of these things, but I know just little bits about this. And so it's my premise that the real trouble, you know, the apocalypse and all that stuff will start getting set up in the beginning of that agrarian year. And folks, I'm hoping we got till 2029, because 7 years from this year will be 2029. But this is the end of that cycle. There's a name for it, and forgive me, I'm bad with names. But I do understand all these other little things. And my point is this, is that we are looking at a draconian, despotic leader who has no constitutional standing in being there. If you haven't looked into all of these things and you have not come to the conclusion that we have been royally set up, I mean, if you look through the facts, I mean, there's been books and there's been other things that have been written that actually talk about and document the magnitude of penetration in our government by communists or totalitarians, whether they be Islamists or communists. It doesn't matter. They're all working together to destroy America. And so we are, you know, people go, well, why would they do this? Because they hate liberty and they truly believe. This is why when we go through the ratification debates, I always start off with the scale of liberty and that scale of liberty and how people are wired, that they're 180 out from one end to the other. And I don't mean that, you know, well, they're diametrically opposed, but they are 180, their wiring is 180 out. In other words, a person that truly believes in liberty, if a true Christian believes every person must choose for themselves, they must suffer the consequences based on the law. I mean, whatever those laws are. I mean, Christ didn't say don't pay Caesar his taxes, but he said give unto Caesar that which is Caesar's and give unto God that which is God's. And I'm paraphrasing. But my point is that, you know, Christ didn't come, and I've actually made this point to earlier this week, that when Christ came, he created his church. He didn't create his government. But I believe what he meant and what he desired, or the intent of the governance of mankind, is right here in our Constitution. And this is why it has everything we need. It has defined the few powers that government should possess. And we need to get back to those basics. We need to actually start driving backwards and getting the genies, all these different evil genies, back in the bottle. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is, if this is the ending or the beginning of the end, this next coming year, this next coming agrarian year, agricultural year, then now is the time to get what you can, because the availability of food and the price of food will not get better. I am telling you that right now they have to win. They're doing everything they can to win, and their mode is they have to win. And so they're going to continue to cheat. And this goes right down to this whole problem with our election system. I've said a long, long time ago that election fraud, voter fraud, and our election system, and this goes all the way back to the early 2000s. A friend of mine, fellow former Marine, that we were working together in this government contracting company. As a matter of fact, it was on his wedding day. And I told him and a few of our other Marine Corps friends, I said, our biggest problem in America is our election process. And so there are lots of factors that have something to do with that. The party is a huge problem, a huge contributor to the problem. And so back to the point, if you have the opportunity, get yourself, use whatever little extra money you have on shopping, or do without some of the stuff that you have, or do without some of the stuff that you don't need, and get yourself some extra beef, extra pork. I mean, pork is actually reasonable in price right now. I mean, they haven't been killing. And why is that? Why is it that they haven't been, destroying a lot of pork plants? Because China owns most of those. All the Smithfield plants that China owns. Well, unconstitutionally owns. There's so many things that we've been covering, and I hope you're getting this. And if you want to start looking at, what to do, go to our Take Action page. We've got a script right there that needs to be brought up. The problem is this information is being totally suppressed, that Congress still has the power to remove Biden and actually do the right thing. That window closes in 2024. I mean, when we finally get to the election point of 2024, it's too late, because that term is done and the damage is done. So let's just see, because they're getting very good in stealing elections. It's not just one way here, one way there. As a matter of fact, the question I pose, because I see lots of people complaining and complaining and complaining about election integrity, and they're all fighting in the court system. They're all going through this legal battle into a battlefield that is controlled by our opposition. Why? Why are we doing that? Why has not one organization started focusing on the counties and using First Amendment petitions? Because your county commissioners are the easiest to replace and get rid of. They're the most perishable of our representatives. Because when it comes to elections at the county level, it's really an open game. There's not a lot of voter manipulation and a lot of control. I mean, when you're looking at a whole state, there's ways they can do it. But if you're in a red county, you have a better likelihood of getting rid of your county commissioners who are not complying to the Constitution. This is why we've been telling you, you need to start your strategy now by petitioning them. This article I'm still working on, this book I'm still working on, up to 50 pages now, will help you understand, and I want to cover the details of why all of this stuff is important and how to do it. And so when we look at what to do about voter integrity, why have you not? Because your county is where you vote. Your county is where the votings are all tabulated to go to the state. Technically, in the old days, it was supposed to be done by the precincts. And then the precincts would then report. But this today, it's the counties that are tabulating. And in the old days, the counties were the, you know, the level of where elections were done. I mean, during the post-constitutional convention and in this new government under the Constitution, elections were done by your sheriffs at the county seat. If you wanted to pay the poll tax and you wanted to go vote, that's what you did. And that's how you did it. And there weren't a lot of people that voted back in those days. A lot of them just didn't want to pay the poll tax. You know, that spirit of not wanting to pay any taxes. Of course, that goes to the corruption of man. And as a matter of fact, I had a great conversation with Dean Bachman, former Congresswoman Bachman, and, you know, former, well, not former, she's still a superstar, but we're going to air that, and I will probably, it will be after the ratification base, and I'll probably, what I want to do is I want to actually see if I can get another follow-up between now and Constitution Day so that we can, you know, have kind of a follow-on series, because I would love to actually get her to start talking about what to do and how to do things, because I want to really get into solution-based ideas. Because when we start having those types of conversations, then we're actually addressing the elephant in the room and what to do about it. You know, we can always talk about problems and so forth, but until we really admit that the problems are coming from this elephant in the room, then we're not going anywhere. And that's when we start going somewhere, by addressing them. We'll be right back after these two promos.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model, on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so one of the things that I really want to drive home, because I see lots of people complaining, I see lots of people getting engaged, which in a way that's good, because that means that people are finally at a boiling point, that they've got to react. But the problem is how you're reacting. If you're going into the court system, if you're trying to follow the laws that they've created that are unconstitutional. In other words, well, you know, you can do a ballot measure. You can do this. None of those things will work. And the fact of the matter is, you can't tell me, because I've heard lots of people say, oh, well, First Amendment petitions don't work. Well, that's because they believe that they're protests. they don't know what a First Amendment petition is. It's not a protest. It's not a rally. You're right. Rallies and protests don't work. That's why they've convinced you that that's what a First Amendment petition is. Now, again, it's Feedback Friday, so we're going to get into some feedback. We're going to kind of cover and overlap some of the stuff that I talked with in my interview with Michelle Bachmann. And nevertheless, I did receive, you know, that awesome email. And I actually, let me find out where that email is. Yep, it's, I think, so, you know, I'm really bad with names. The name's Charles, and his email doesn't necessarily reflect that. But I've talked back and forth with Charles. I think, because a long time ago I wanted to have him on the show. I still want to have him on the show, but he was too busy or what have you, and we never were able to link up. I'm more than happy to talk about this one myopic issue, but it's just the problem du jour. It's the grapefruit of the day. It's the, you know, oh, well, let's just look at this terrible thing. This all goes to prove that because the federal government has actually gone out of its way to violate almost every law and redefine them from marriage and basic contract law. And I actually make that point with Michelle Bachmann in our interview, because when you look at all of the things, most of the things that they do that they violate are fundamental contracts, such as your private student loan or your government student loan. It doesn't matter. It is a contract. Anyway, back to these elections, though. When somebody says, and this goes to the convention states as well. I've said this, that when you look at the convention states telling you that the only thing in the Constitution to deal with overreaches and breaches and violations of the contract, the Constitution, then, you know, the only thing to do is the Article 5 Convention. What a bunch of idiots. You know, the people that are involved in the convention states are, there's lots of them that are awesome patriots that have completely bought into this fallacy. I mean, it's almost like, yeah, I can't even come up with a really good metaphor. It's almost like, you know, walking right past the obvious thing that will, you know, the round peg that goes in that round hole. And then somebody comes up and finds this, you know, this big, huge monstrosity star or square that, you know, oh, well, this is what goes in that round hole. And they've convinced people that that's what happens, you know, and I don't want to use the word imbecility, but it's the only word that comes to mind. But the lack of thinking, the lack of cognitive powers, the lack of, you know, using a little common sense and reason to realize that this stuff, this peg won't go in that hole. You know, instead they, oh, well, we got to try harder. And you know what? The fact of the matter is the proof and the evidence of this will all pan out if they have the opportunity to destroy the Constitution, because that's what they'll end up doing. They'll end up destroying, they will be the final hurrah and the final, you know, hoopla in our Constitutional Republic. And I say this because all things arising under this Constitution falls under the jurisdiction of the federal government, which means that Article 5 Convention, don't let anybody tell you otherwise. Look, they're doing all of these things that they have no constitutional jurisdiction to do because it does not arise under the Constitution. But Article 5 is an actual part of the Constitution. That's why it's called Article 5. The Constitution starts off with Article 1, 2, and we'll go through this. But the fact of the matter is that when they initiate the convention, the federal government, Congress, there's no doubt in my mind, will begin to regulate and manipulate and control it. And when the states, if the idiots in the states try to fight it, they'll actually, the court will actually step in and say, you know, they do have jurisdiction. It arises under this Constitution. And that's how simple it is. And so they will stack the process. So why are we even having this conversation when the reality is the only tool in the Constitution for the redress of grievances, for actually identifying a problem and demanding that the problem be fixed and addressed, the tool, the primary tool in the Constitution is the First Amendment petition. It's that powerful. So back to this concept of why is it that we don't have these, you know, a really well-established, like the 10th Amendment Center or the John Birch Society, some of these big monstrosity conservative organizations that call themselves champions of the Constitution. Why is it that they're not out leading on this First Amendment petition? Why is it that they're not actually organizing people to start attacking your county commissioners and taking back your county, attacking your sheriff with First Amendment petitions, holding them accountable? And so this is why this is so important, friends. We have to realize that the one little tool that we can use that will set the stage for Republic review, and because it's a battle, right? You first start with the skirmishes, you know, on the onset or the peripheral, the outer edges of, you know, the territory we have to take back. So we start using First Amendment petitions. We start working our way in, and as their battle lines start to shrink, as you know, their front, actually in war speak, they call it a front, where they believe that's the front of where they control their, you know, that's the land they control. Well, as that front starts to shrink around them, and things start to collapse, you know, it brings us closer and closer to the ability to exercise the true strategic authority and power to win the strategic battle in getting the federal government into full compliance. And in so doing, we'll get our states into compliance and so forth. So why is it that we don't have anybody? Now, I'm just going to say this, that in Spokane County, even though I'm going to say kind of, they submitted a First Amendment petition. It really wasn't truly a First Amendment petition, because what they did was, let's say they petitioned for, you know, an audit. What they wanted to do was do a full audit, and the auditor has done nothing other than lied, actually. There's some evidence out there, and or I should say the community is accusing her of lying to the commissioners and so forth. And the problem is that the commissioners, they're dirty. The commissioners themselves are aggrandizing. They're just trying to put money in their pocket. They're trying to become the politician elite. And those days are over now. We have to start realizing that we can't allow people to actually get rich off of us anymore. This whole cycle has to end. Yeah, I'm getting closer and closer to gaining control, well, somewhat gaining control of my vernacular, and that's due to the medication, as you know. And so as I'm going through this long, you know, weaning myself and withdrawal, it's getting interesting. But it's actually proven one point that I do suffer a little bit from dyslexia. And I have since I've been a kid. But anyway, that's another problem for a different day. The point is that Spokane County has actually gone to their county commissioners and demanded and held them accountable, and they've actually had some results. So I actually ought to get one of the organizers that was really driving this, because this gentleman that I talked to, I said, this is what you need to do. And he kind of did that. He didn't do exactly what I told him to do, but, you know, we're all creatures of our, you know, we all have our own control, and he did what he wanted to do. And actually, to get this to be bought in, he had to make some politically correct changes. And so, in other words, he went to a lot of power brokers of Spokane County, and that's what you may deal with when you live in a large populated county, you know, where there's a population center. Oh, you know, the party wants to control it. And this has become very self-evident, because He could have had this petition done last year. We had conversations about this last year. And instead, you know, it took months for him to finally get the approval to finally go through. So I do want to get this gentleman on the, you know, in, either in the studio or over the phone to interview him on what they've done and how they've actually had some success. And I'm here to tell you they would have far more success if they were driving a First Amendment petition. The one thing that they haven't done is they haven't maintained this, I'll just say, maintained the flame of the fire on the county commissioners. And I'll tell you how and why when we come back. So when we come back, we'll kind of get into the power of really using a First Amendment petition. So we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so what happens when you do a First Amendment petition? If you do it just by yourself, then, you know, it's a good slap in the face, but it does not knock your county commissioners down. It's an embarrassing moment. With everybody in the room, those few people got to witness an embarrassing moment. And that embarrassing moment quickly fleets because it's all forgotten. You may have landed a little slap in the face, but you're not going to get the results that you expect out of it. Because they're not going to honor it, because they won't honor it until we hold them accountable. So the real punch between the eyes, the real hit in their face that knocks them off their feet. And, you know, I'm using this because this is a fight. This is a battle, but this is not a battle of physical force. This is a battle of political force. So the real hit that knocks them off their feet and completely surprises them and they don't know what to do is when you actually walk in with a petition that has been signed by hundreds of people. And so that's what Spokane County did, but that's where they stopped. And if it's a true First Amendment petition, you're going to exercise your rights and actually start amassing more signatures, which is why in the follow-up, 2 weeks later, in the next county commissioner meeting, you show up with more signatures and you say, we've now accumulated 2,000 more signatures And all of a sudden, that's another slap in the face. They're just trying to get themselves up, and they're having their next meeting, and pow, you hit them again. And this time, you hit them with another petition. So now you've got another petition with 500 or 800 more signatures and 2,000, or actually, let's go with 2,000 signatures for both, because you're growing, right? So now you have 2,000 signatures for the second petition, and now 2,500 signatures for the first. And then in 2 weeks, you come back again, and you pow, you hit them again. And you report that you've got this many more signatures for the first two, and now you've got a third petition. So all you're doing is you're delivering the next petition, and then you're delivering the next petition, and you're holding them accountable. And it's, by the way, in these petitions, you give them a certain amount of time to do something. And so, you know, after the 1 month or after, by the time you come back the second time, so what I mean by the second time, not the time after, but the third time you actually bring the third petition, that should be the closeout of your 1 month time frame of demanding that they behave a certain way within a month. And so that's when you hit them and say, look, you have failed to do what we have demanded you to do. And now we have this many signatures. And oh, by the way, if you think we're done, we're going to continue. And if you think you're not going to be able to do what we demand you to do, then you better just quit and resign right now. We will get you, we'll get these seats filled by people that will do their job by supporting the Constitution. I'm telling you, the only way to go on, you know, to getting your political servants to do their job is to, you know, literally go all in holding them accountable. You can't be nice. Christ tells us, and he shows us, you can't be nice when people are doing things in our halls of government that they, it's just, what's the difference between what our politicians are doing and what the marketeers and the salesmen and the merchandise people in the temple, when Christ went in and whipped them and drove them out of the temple, turned over their tables, and I mean, accosted them? He wasn't nice. These men had, or these people, men and women or who, whatever, kids as well, that were, you know, maybe it was a family business inside the temple operating. It doesn't matter. They didn't have any right to be there. They were driven out. And it's the same thing with your public servants. You can't be nice to them. I'm here to tell you, my friends, that if you want to be effective in actually taking action, the only action that you can take that you have these is don't get physical. Don't even threaten. What you do is you say you have failed to do this. So you either have to step down or we're going to continue ratcheting. And good luck. Good luck, because we believe that the people of this county really believe that you have a responsibility and you're failing to do it. And so all you're going to do is you're making it, you know, this, if you want to call it a lame duck session, a lame duck term, because there's no way he'll be able to get reelected after all of this. So he would actually be doing a service by stepping down. And so over time, they will realize that the things that are haunting them, all of these petitions, because folks, again, every time you go back, you have to have another petition ready. So this is why we've told you that you have to get organized and you really need to find people that can start understanding and taking the responsibility of writing petitions and sharing that responsibility. Because as you come up with more petitions, every time you walk in with a new one, it becomes a new punch in the face. You make it impossible for them to get up and get back on their feet and come back at you. Because bottom line, you are actually asserting your constitutional authority over them. I mean, this is a beautiful thing. Only the good Lord knew what was needed. And some of this stuff goes all the way back to the beginning. Only he knew how this would all end. And that's why these things were put in the Constitution. Same with Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. So I had a conversation with a leader in Montana, dealing with a few different leaders. And there was a school board meeting this past week, and it was over this teacher who violated the state law by actually providing erotic material to third graders. And so we had a good conversation regarding, you know, what happened. And one of the things that transpired was the chairman of the county commissioners, the, you know, the guy in charge, because they usually have one person in charge, and, you know, it's either the senior or the chair or what have you of the commissioners. And so the chairman who is running the meeting, sometimes they you know, mix it up, but depending on how your county and how your state does it, but there they have a chair. And actually, this was the chair of the school board. This was not the county commissioners. And the chair who was running the meeting basically laid out exactly how he was going to run that meeting, like he had full control of it. And so this gentleman, after being armed with the knowledge, stood up at the very beginning and said, look, what I'm understanding here is you're actually making it so that we can't exercise our First Amendment right. And he called him out on that. He goes, are you going to allow people to do and exercise their First Amendment petition in petitioning you? And he says, look, you know, you only get so much time. And so it really boiled down to this fact that this guy was a tyrant and he was not recognized. And this is an elected official, my friends. And so we had this conversation of what to do. And I told him that he needs to actually bring up charges against this person for violating your civil rights. Because when he got up the second time, he says, you can only speak once. Folks, if you understand the right of petition, government at any level in the United States, no government can make or enforce any law that abridges your rights as a U.S. citizen. And the right of the First Amendment petition is very clear, that no government can make any law that abridges the right of the individual U.S. citizen to petition government for the redress of grievances. And therefore, when a board, a chair of the board says you only get one trip up to that mic, I don't care if they've got something to do. I don't care if they want to get home by 10 o'clock. I don't care. You're a public servant. That means that you work for us. And so we're not your slaves, and we need to start driving this message home that if you don't like being a public servant, get out of the kitchen, because that's where it's hot. And we're going to be bringing the heat, and and the way things are going, you're not going to like it. So there were a few different petitions that I was telling this leader to do. He needed to petition the sheriff to basically say, this guy is violating our rights. He's taking away our civil rights. And he needed to also petition the county commissioners. And here's the ultimate, because I don't have a lot of time. This is I'm going into the end of the third segment, and there's still some other stuff I wanted to get back into the student debt. But here's the ultimate petition when it comes down to your school board. Folks, you are extra taxed on your education system because your property taxes are paying for this insurrection that's happening in your school system. And so you can write a petition to demand that all taxes being taken from your property cease and desist that's being used for education, that the taxpayers cannot morally or even with a good conscience pay one penny to an education system that is driving an insurrection to undermine our Constitution. Their obligation is to teach these young citizens to be, to understand their obligation in supporting the Constitution and the liberty of all, not to actually get them to drive this wedge or this Bolshevik revolution to destroy the Constitution. We have to actually end this, and the best way to do that is to actually demand that you defund them. So, you know, this cry for defunding the police. You need to start decrying, defund the schools, stop taking our tax money. And the county commissioners, boy, when you start hitting them, they're going to run scared because you absolutely have the point and you have the high ground. Anyway, this is the power of the First Amendment petition. Anywho, when we come back, we'll talk about loans.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me, AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so as you know, Biden is playing politics in giving election support. And so you can't tell me that this little $10,000 debt forgiveness is going to pan out. I don't know how it's happening. If it's just wiping that total down by 10,000, or because if Biden was really nefarious and evil, what he would do is he'd basically say that we will cover, you don't have to pay. In other words, remove that burden of paying that debt. And, you know, for the $10,000, whatever, anybody that's got a student debt out there, for which would basically probably take you over the next 2 years. In other words, those who have this student debt now all of a sudden don't have to pay student debt because the government has forgiven it your payments for this long. But then after that election in 2024, that debt will kick back in. Because let's just say the average school or student debt that people are paying, you know, comfortably maybe is $300-$400 a month. Well, that takes about 2 years to get to 10 grand. That gets through two election cycles, this one and the next one. You see my point? And this is how he can play. And this is absolutely unconstitutional. Because what he's doing is he's buying, well, there's so many different things. The government has no constitutional authority to even be involved in student loans. They have no constitutional authority whatsoever to be involved in student loans. They have a constitutional responsibility to establish and ensure a uniform code for bankruptcy across the union. In other words, any type of debt, any type of burden, financial or what have you, that, you know, actually becomes a yoke on a person, anybody that has that to say, I can't do this anymore, has a right to go into bankruptcy, except for those people who have these government loans. Well, why don't they do the same thing with Freddie Mac? When they nationalize it, we're at the crossroads of communism. because we're looking at, and there's a friend of mine that I really would love to have a conversation with. She's a pilot, and she's a retired Air Force officer, and she's about ready to retire as a pilot. And so, you know, I've kind of lobbed these suggestions kind of in an open forum to her that we're looking at a government takeover of the airline industry. Because how many times has the airline industry been bailed out by government? Several times. And it's been, you know, the government has gotten involved ever since, you know, Reagan deregulated the airline industry. Well, government has done nothing but actually stepped back in. And what should have happened was the airline industry should have actually gone bankrupt here and there. And they should have been forced to create a model that was absolutely profitable. And so what they did was as they started making profits and then all of a sudden something would impact them, they were unable to make adjustments. Whether that be the cost of fuel, I don't know. I don't know all of the ins and outs of the little, you know, the many different nuances that created these business faux pas that actually put the airline industries into these, you know, into harm's way. But the fact of the matter is that when government, or I should say actually when the economy starts to slow down, when we get into a recession, it affects every business. And then all of a sudden it becomes, the government starts getting involved and bailing out or manipulating in things that they shouldn't do. And it's basically tantamount to a takeover. Even though they may not have taken over, they've taken over a little period or point in time. And so what Biden is doing is the epitome of buying votes. Folks, that's illegal in America. You cannot influence elections by you buying, you know, it's like getting out there and saying, if you vote for me, I'll give you free health care. Well, that's buying votes. And I think you're going to love this conversation I have with Michelle Bachmann. As a matter of fact, I will tell you later on, you know, what we need to be doing as a nation. But I don't want to necessarily upset things. I want to make sure that things kind of permeate and ferment the way it needs to so that we get the best cheese, we get the best, you know, wine out of this process so that it is, you know, what's the best way of saying it? Favorable to the taste buds of everybody so that we all recognize that this is what we have to do. And so back to this uniform thing or this, you know, this requirement right there in Article 1, Section 8. Well, that's the only solution, folks. You know, I know that these kids have been, you know, been convinced and coerced, you know, pressured, or, you know, a lot of them, they just didn't care. And so they're now in a situation. And this $10,000, you know, wave, and truly, if Biden was smart, he would have actually, I could actually go down the path of saying, well, what wouldn't keep him from doing this in 2 years again and waiving another $10,000? But if you think about it, giving them and basically saying, we're going to cover your payments for up to $10,000. So in other words, the life of the loan will continue based on your payments. So if you want to, you can pay a little more and get your, you know, your, what do they call that, your principal down, because now you're paying, what you pay actually covers the, you know, the principal, because in your loan, a lot of it goes to interest. So there's ways by doing it over that way of, you know, providing $10,000 of payments, then this becomes a real, real volatile opportunity for, I believe, the progressives in giving the progressives that are out there doing the Bolshevik Revolution by covering their costs for 2 years. It helps them or frees them up to be now mobilized in the streets more. because many of these kids probably don't have their own homes. They're probably still living in their basements and so forth. Now they have, you know, this extra disposable income on a monthly basis to relieve them so that they can even become more active in the streets. I mean, if you really think about what can be done by them going down this path, this is incredibly unconstitutional. This is warfare. This only proves, as I've been telling you, and I kind of sound like, you know, Rosanna Dana and or Jane Curtin, that, you know, this is setting us up. The federal government has been orchestrating warfare against we the people and the Constitution for over a century. Over a century. Some people would say decades. I can prove that it has been over a century. And so did they know what they were doing? I think some of them did. I think many of them just bought into the Marxist economics theory, the Keynesian economic theory, and so forth. So nevertheless, what we want to do is we want to help you start to understand the power of the First Amendment petition. And as a matter of fact, what you need to do, if you want to really engage on this first, or I should say, if you want to use the First Amendment petition to engage on these student loans, go down to your county commissioners and demand that these student loans be put back into the standards of the Constitution, that they fall under a uniform code or a uniform law for bankruptcy. Because if somebody is in a position where they can't pay these loans, because see, that's not the point. I would tell you that there may be some kids out there that are at the brink of, or some people out there that may be at the brink of bankruptcy, but not everybody. And only those people, because when you actually put it into bankruptcy, then those people actually have to prove that they're at that point. But when you grant it to everybody, you really pollute the well. And so, folks, you know, when you look at the Constitution and the genius and the brilliance in these things, and how every single problem that we can throw at you points to the Constitution, or a violation, I should say, of the Constitution, then what else can I say? I mean, I think I've done my job, right? The ratification debates will be, we've about a little over a week left of these, and then we're going to get into some marketing and or details, but on the, let me see, 17th, so it'll be the 19th of September is when we'll actually start covering the Constitution. I want to emphasize this. You're going to want to get people to start listening, because we're actually, now that we've gone through the ratification base, now that we've highlighted all these little things, now what we're going to do is we're going to go through the Constitution, we're going to read it, and then we're going to identify how these things were basically defined and how these things are being perverted and what we can do. And so I'm going to kind of marry or try to mix up what we call the Bill of Rights or the positions to campaign on. So we're going to extensively go through the Constitution. It's probably going to take a couple months maybe, but it's going to be worth it so that you understand how beautiful that document is and how powerful it is, along with our First Amendment rights. Anyway, I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.